Okay, hello everyone. How are we doing today? Everyone's doing okay?
Yeah.
Doing okay? I know it's hard fast because we changed the clock, so like a little bit longer than usual. So I know that we usually discuss Parsha, but I figured more apropos to discuss Tanit Esther, as that's exactly today, to talk about why we're doing what we're doing, why exactly we're fasting today, and what's the point. The obvious place to look is in Megillas Esther, so that's exactly what we're going to do. As you guys might know, the story of Purim is unfolding, and Haman has decided to wipe out all the Jewish people across 127 nations that are under the Persian Empire, under King Ahasuerus, and they get the letters. The Jews in Shushan get the letter that was sent out with the signet ring of the king, basically saying that everyone else can go and attack the Jews on the 14th of Adar. That is the national day of, so to speak, national day of rage. You should go and kill all the Jews in the area. And Mordechai hears, and it says, "Vayikra Mordechai begadav." Vayibash sak vayifer. Mordechai tore his clothing as if he was a mourner himself. Tore his clothing and he wore sackcloth and ashes, which were signs of national mourning. Like that's what you do when you're a mourner. So he's basically and he sat outside. He went around the city. Vayzak kagadola mora, and he had this bitter cry, yelling out to the heavens. What a crazy scene it must have been to see Mordechai the Jew sitting at the gate of the city, basically decrying the fact that his people are about to die. And it says, in every single city that the king's word reached, there was this awesome, in the true sense of the word. Unfortunately, this is a bad awesome sight of everybody. Right, evil gadol yehudim. A sadness, a mourning for all the Jewish people. Vitzom uvechi umispeid, fasting, crying, and hespeda. What's the English word? Hesped. Someone help me out. What's the English word for it? What? Eulogizing. Thank you. Eulogy. So you of sadness, of crying, of eulogizing, and everybody was given sackcloth and ashes. Everybody. So then we take a small break and back and forth between Esther and Mordechai, back and forth about what's going on, because seemingly potentially Esther doesn't know. So he's sending back and forth through Hasach, one of the guys at the gate, one of the guards, back and forth between Esther and Mordechai. And he says, so he's going back and forth. And problem is that the Jews don't know what's happening, and it's a very hard time. And when we read Megillah, especially Megillah's Eicha, which is read on Tisha B'Av, so there's a specific tune, a trup that's used. It's a very sad tune. And it basically goes like this. It's a crying, a very sad tune. And the Megillah is opposite. It's a very upbeat tune. So it's the opposite, major minor. I don't know music, so I don't know if I'm saying that right. But it's opposite to show. No, I'm not right.
No, I'm allergic to music. Oh,
so where is he? He was here. But it's the exact opposite on purpose, showing the difference of the sad and happy. However, two or three times during Megillas Esther, you're going to hear on Saturday night and Sunday morning that we actually do it in this sad tune. And one of them is exactly what we just read, right? So it says, right, that evil gadol, so we read it, instead of the happy tune, it's read in the sad tune of Echa. Evel gadol la Yehudim, v'tzonu v'chi umispeid, sak va'efer yutzal la'rabim. You have to remember, Tisha B'Av was ridden as the Jewish temple was literally lit aflame. Some Jews thought this was the end of Judaism and chose to jump off the roof of the temple into the flames and kill themselves because they said this was the end of Judaism. Most Jews left into exile saying, we're done. This is the end. What we know now as the Holocaust, the Jews, this was the Holocaust for them. This was a major slaughter of Jews and sent into exile. Now, when this is happening in between the two temples, they had been already taken out of their land. They're now in ancient Persia, and they're seeing a worldwide, so to speak, right, 127 nations. It's not small. It's going from Turkey, modern-day Turkey, all the way to modern-day India, potentially a little bit further. I mean, huge empire. And it's a king signed with the signet ring of the king. The Jews are going to die on this day. I think they thought it was going to be another Holocaust. They said this is the end. We thought that maybe the end of the temple was going to be the end of Judaism, but we somehow survived. So the fact that we survived is a miracle at all. Now that this is coming out, we are done for. Not only are we not in our land, but now we're in a foreign land, kicked out, and then now we're going to be destroyed. This is what they thought. They said, this is what you do at the end of life, is you cry, you fast, you give eulogy, right? You wear sackcloth and ashes. They really thought it was the end. And so like we said, Esther and Mordechai are having this back and forth. And Esther kind of is sitting pretty in her palace. She doesn't have as much access to the outside world. And Mordechai says something interesting to her. She says, "Al tidami nashich limaleth beit hamelech mikol ha'yehudim." Don't think that you are going to be safe in the palace because you're wrapped up with all the Jews. You're not going to be safe in the palace because in the end of the day, while all the Jews are being exterminated out here, you're sitting pretty where you are right now. It's not going to do anything because in the end of the day, you're Jewish. So you might be safe for now, bless you, but that might change. Because if you don't take control of this moment, if you don't act now, so the Jewish people are going to be saved. Mordechai was a man of great emunah, of great faith. And he said, the Jewish people are going to be saved either way. But you and your family, they're going to be totally destroyed because you didn't help out. Like, the Jewish people are going to carry on. There's going to be a giant massacre, and you and your family are going to be part of it. The Jews are somehow going to survive, but you and your family are going to be part of it. And Esther decides, and she says, oh, and then the end of it is, and who knows, mi yodea im la'et kazo, higata l'malchut. Maybe this is the reason why you got into the kingship. And Esther says, she returns back to Mordechai saying, Lech kenos kol ha'yehudim, go gather up all the Jews that are found in Shushan, v'tzumu alai, and fast for me. Don't eat and don't drink for 3 days and three nights, and me and my maidservants are going to do the same thing, and then I'm going to go in front of the king. The reason why she does this, she's worried that if she goes in front of the king without having any permission, that she's going to be killed, because you need permission to basically appear in front of the king, even if you're the wife. And I think that what's happening here is Esther is basically telling them, and we've spoken about this, I think, a few times throughout the year, which is Esther is basically telling the Jews, I need you to, you were fasting, right? We said you tzomu v'chi, you were fasting and you were crying. That was really for your own individual salvation or for the salvation of the whole, including you. But now I'm going to ask you to fast for me. Do a favor for me. And I'm going to fast for you. I think we spoke, I don't remember when we spoke about it, but we spoke about it earlier that when you pray for another individual, your prayers are going to be answered a lot sooner than as if you just pray for your own. So the question is then why don't we fast for 3 days? Or at least go back, you know, a couple of days and we should be fasting maybe 2 days before Purim. Or even so, why do we have to fast at all? Because just because Esther did it, okay, shkoyach. Like, so there's plenty of things that people did in Tanakh. Like Moshe split the sea. Everyone has to split the sea on, you know, on the seventh day of Pesach. And it's like, well, why? Like, what's the connection here? So it says in at the very end of the Megillah that Kayamim asher nachu bahem hayudim me'oivehem v'chodesh asher napach lahem mi'agon l'simcha u'me'evel yom tov. So what happens is that these days that the Jews were basically meant to be killed by their enemies, this whole month was totally flipped on its head. Ne'apach lahem. It was opposite for them. From tragedy to joy. From mourning to a happy day, to Yom Tov. And it's going to be days of partying, of mishteh. It means like happiness, simcha. Mishloch manot, you're going to give these gifts, ish l'reyu, for friends, matanot levyonim, and for the poor people. So the question is well, how does this really answer what we're supposed to do? And I think that when you look at the praying for another person, so what are the things that we have to do on Purim? Did we send mishloch manot in the Purim story? Did someone send gifts to someone else? Matanot levyonim, gifts to the poor. Did someone else give charity in the Purim story? Why are those the two mitzvahs that are taken out of context, that are like, hey, this is how you celebrate Purim. Give gifts to the poor and give gifts to your friends. I think that what he's trying to say is that just like Esther said, fast for me, do this for me, and I do it for you. When we're caring about each other, that's what really matters. When you're caring about the other, that's when things turn around. And that's why on Purim, we, so to speak, make sure, not reenact, but we make sure that we're caring about the other. We make sure that our friends are taken care of, that the poor are taken care of. Because when we don't stop worrying about our own things that we need, and we start looking at what does our friends need, what do the poor people need, everything changes. And I think that's why Haman, when he first wants to destroy the Jews, he says something very interesting and curious, at least to me. He says, there's this nation I want to get rid of, right? He says, to Achashverosh, there's this weird nation. He says that they are mifuzar mifurad. They're spread out and separate throughout all the nations. And their knowledge and their rule, they're not like anyone else's. And they're not like the kings. They're not going to listen to their kings, and they don't have any king besides their God, like they don't necessarily see you as the true king. Now, I think all those reasons are good reasons to say that you fight against a king, against the people. Now, I think Haman was trying to say that you are, that they are separate and that they don't want to be a part of your kingdom, that they really want to be back in their homeland. But I think he's hitting on something a little bit deeper for us to take, which is they are so separate. They are so divided. They don't have the semblance of what the Jewish people are supposed to be, which is togetherness, caring about the other. They are separate. They are alone. That is when you get them. That is how you get the Jewish people. When they're separate, when they're alone, when they don't care about the other, that's when terrible things happen. Right? What do we say? What's the reason why the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed? Sinat chinam, baseless hatred. When you're not getting along with the next person, terrible things happen. So when we say, Misha nechnas adar, it's so exciting. The whole month is going to be besimcha. The whole month is going to be with joy. And then right before Purim kicks in of 24 hours of partying, you go down and you fast. It's, you want to feel this nehepach. You want to feel this opposite. The month goes from sadness to joy. When we fast and then we go into the Megillah, we want you to feel like everything is going wrong. The Chachamim wanted you to feel, this is it. This is it. Holocaust is happening today. Thursday night, I mean, granted, it's usually back up against each other, fast day and then Purim right after each other. But this was the case that you were right up against each other. You're fasting, fasting, fasting. Why? Because we're so scared. We're scared that the Holocaust is going to happen because we're separate. Because we're divisive. We're divisive. We're so separate from each other. We don't care about the other people. And then we go into the happiness, straight into Matanot Lev Yonim. Mishloach manot ish l'reihu. Everything is about caring about the other. if you want to get that happiness, the ultimate redemption, the key is being together. We're seeing now, post October 7th, that the Jewish people were so connected together. And then right afterwards, things started going wrong again. People started infighting with each other. I think that if you want to see the salvation of the Jewish people, if you want to see salvation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to be together. There's a reason why God isn't mentioned in Megillas Esther. Megillas Esther is not about God, right? Megillas Esther, it's really great that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in the background. But it's really about people caring about each other. Because the tides turn when Esther says, fast for me, I fast for you. The tides turn when they all care about each other. When you want to see the tides turn, you care about your friends. You see what your friend needs, you pray for them, you daven for them, and you help them out. Because that will bring us to the ultimate redemption. B'mehirah v'yameinu. Amen.